when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, people. Good afternoon, depending on where you are, where the sun is setting on the earth at any given period. Like they say, it's always Friday somewhere. It's high noon somewhere. But right now, where we are, it is 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. At 5 o'clock somewhere, Sam said. But anyway, it is, guess what? It's a brand new year. It is January the 4th, the year of our Lord, 2020. And this is our first broadcast of the brand new year, 2020. If you people hung around last week, you'd know we did a tape show because Lord knows we needed a break. Sam had places to go, things to do. He's a busy dude. We had places to go, things to do. So we played a tape. I hope y'all enjoyed it. And we're working on doing a better job getting our archives and show notes up there. I think I was implicit or explicit, whatever it is. We have an attorney coming on pretty soon that can tell me which is the proper word to use. You know, when you're before a judge, you sure want to get it right. But anyway, here's what we got coming on tonight. Our first guest tonight, people, is going to be our honored guest. He is Jason Robb. He's an attorney at law. He's also the chief counselor for the Knights Party. I tell you what, Sam knows how sentimental I am and how I get attached to people. Sam knows that Jason Robb's almost like a spirit son to me. But here's where I'm going to give a brief outline of what we're going to do tonight. But before we go to our live line, you people know the drill. We're going to go to a prayer. And as our custom, old Lee, old ball-headed Lee, is going to lead us in prayer. Take off, Lee.
Okay. Everybody, bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us in our struggle for justice and freedom. And please help us to expose these secret combinations. Please help our political prisoners. Please help the South African farmers and white people in South Africa who are being persecuted by the black tribesmen and the oligarchs. And please help to prevent a war, a foreign war, and please help prevent a civil war, and please help us to vote against the United States, Mexico, and Canada agreement, which is really a sellout. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, amen.
Thank you so much, Lee. I'm going to give a brief outline now, and then we're going to get right to our guest. As you people know, I've already told you we were off last week. We had a tape show. Matthew will be off tonight. Tyler will be off tonight. So we're going to be kind of winging it, me and Lee and our guest. But here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Knoxville murders. By the way, January the 7th is the anniversary. What is that, 2007? That makes this the 13th anniversary of those hideous murders of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a similar atrocity that happened in Wichita, Kansas in the year of 2000. But both murders happened in January. So we are kind of memorializing them, honoring our fellow white people, what was done to them by a group of feral black. It was just, you know, a white, most white people can't even think of anything like that evil. I mean, not even an animal would do that. But folks, the second hour, we're going to have Ike Baker on. He's from the League of the South. He's going to bring us up on everything that's new with the League of the South. And he's also going to cover the Virginia Citizens Defense League. But the protests, they're going to go to Richmond, Virginia. They're protesting the Virginia governor there, who's threatened to bring the National Guard in on citizens in Virginia to go door to door to disarm them. And you know what? If he does that, I think there'll be holy hell to pay. I wouldn't want to be that governor, because I tell you what, like we said, I think on a previous show, you don't have to cut the whole body of a snake up to get rid of him. All you got to do is cut the head off. And that speaking, you know, the governor would probably be the head of the state. So you get where I'm coming from. Anyway, Mr. Jason Robb, how are you doing tonight, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for being on your show.
Well, thank you for coming on our show. Lord knows me and Lee need all the help we can get, man. Like my wife came by. We're always going on these rabbit trails to get kind of goofy here. We were sitting here one night, and we did something screwy like we always do. My wife happened to be in the studio. She says, y'all are idiots. And we said, well, we know that. You know, tell us something we don't know. And Lee said, yeah, we're all idiots here, you know. So we need all the help we can get to stay straight. Well, but anyway.
The thing is, if you're going to be in the racial movement, that you have to have fun. You know, you have to be lighthearted sometimes, you know. There's a long-term struggle.
That is for doggone sure. And we have, even though we have a lot to talk about tonight, and we're going to talk about the International Criminal Court indicting our brethren over there in Israel, the Israeli army. You know, they can do no wrong, but the International Criminal Court has passed a resolution to investigate the Israeli military and politicians for war crimes. But before we get to that, Jason, what's even more important, I think, is we're having a conference coming up in April. It's the last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe, in April. Would you tell us something about that, Jason?
Yes, it's the Faith and Freedom Conference. It's held outside of Harrison, Arkansas. It'll be on the last weekend, which I believe April 24th, 25th, 26th. I believe those are the dates, but it's the last weekend in April. And it's held at the Soldiers of the Cross Bible Camp, which houses the headquarters of the Knights Party and the Christian Revival Center. And we're really excited. We have some great dynamic speakers coming in. Not only yourself, we're honored for you to come back and speak again and give us your wisdom. And Blood River Radio. So we're honored for you being here as well in April. We're also going to have Dr. Michael Hill, who's with the League of the South. And we're also going to have Earl Holt with the Council of Conservative Citizens. And then with those speakers, then we also will be having, of course, my father, Pastor Thomas Robb, who's the National Director of the Knights. Rachel Pentagraph, she's the organizer of the Knights Party. I will be speaking. Steve Kukla, who's a Christian evangelist over from Oklahoma, as well as Mr. Tom Bowie, who has been involved in the struggle for many, many years. So we have a lot of great speakers. We're really just happy to have these speakers, and we're energetic about it.
Well, I certainly appreciate you letting us know about that, Jason. As you may be able to hear the music, we have to go to our first break, and we'll be right back. People, hang on to your seat. We're getting ready to have a great show tonight. We'll be right back.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Go ahead and make my day, people, before we urinate down your throat. At least I'm repeating. That's what Sam said. Similar to that. Well, Sam's a lot nicer. And Sam said that's not exactly right at all. Hey, I'll get it right. I'll keep practicing until I get it right. But anyway, you people, you get the idea. We don't take prisoners here. We really don't. We give no mercy. We ask for no mercy. We give them the black flag. Give them the black flag. No mercy. No quarter. Anyway. I guess I should get back to something a little light before we get. Well, Sam said he wants Jesus to give us mercy, but well, of course, but we just don't want to give any. No mercy. But anyway, before I get any sillier, and before we get to, because we got a really really gruesome show tonight, really in some ways. I'm going to read a few light quotes that our brother. Buddy in Arkansas sent me, and this there's some quotes that'll make you laugh. This one says, he says, Raghead A.O. Cortez from 2018. I don't know who A.O. Cortez is, but Buddy doesn't think too much of him, so therefore I don't either. This guy says that owning guns is not a right. If it were, it would be in the Constitution. I guess he's never read the Second Amendment. Anyway, here's another one from Obama, President Obama, that brilliant graduate, of the he graduated from Harvard Law School. I think he was the editor of, what they call the editor of the Law Review, and also he went to Columbia University, which nobody there knows him. Nobody could find, anyone that didn't know him. Even the instructors there didn't know him. But here's what Obama said. He says, "I have campaigned in all 57 states." He made that statement. Here's what Maxine Waters, she says. My fear is if North Korea nukes us, Trump is going to get us into a war. If you get nuked, I would think you would be in a war. Okay, here's what Pelosi said. We're getting ready to end this in just a minute, people, but we need something light and frothy once in a while. Ms. Pelosi in 2019 has been credited with this quote. You need to vote for the Democrats, otherwise the illegal aliens will lose their rights. She's been quoted as saying that. Here's the last one I'll read, y'all. when Ted Kennedy of Chippewyatic fame was first elected to the Senate, he was caught on camera having sex with one of his aides off the deck of his yacht. House Speaker Sam Rayburn, I think Sam Rayburn was an old guy from Texas, so this doesn't surprise me, this quote from him. He was quoted as saying, "I see that the good senator from Massachusetts has changed his position on offshore drilling." Anyway, I thought those are some quotes that Buddy from Arkansas sent us. I might just read one more. Here's George Bernard Shaw. Here's a good one right here. George Bernard Shaw said, "Today's 100% American is 99% village idiot." This fellow right here, Hitler, said this right here, and he was also right. Democracy, where the votes of two idiots count more than of one wise man. Here's another one right here by H.L. Mencken. Democracy is the pathetic belief in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. Get that? Hey, I got to repeat that. That's true. Democracy is the pathetic belief in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. That's great stuff. Well, but anyway, people, I just wanted to get that out of the way. I'm notorious for going down rabbit trails, but before we, so we're going to delve right into right now. To the meat of this show, this is the anniversary, like I said, the 13th anniversary, January the 7th, of two precious white people, Chan and Chris. It's hard to talk about this, it really is, y'all. I get kind of silly sometimes when I get upset. Chan and Christian and Christopher Newsom were two beautiful kids. Chan and Christian, she was absolutely gorgeous. I've got two photographs of her right here. I showed it to Lee, showed her to my wife. She was a stunning beauty, a beautiful, beautiful 21-year-old college kid in Knoxville, Tennessee. I think she was getting ready to graduate from the University of Tennessee. Her handsome little, he looks cute to me. He looks like he's 6 years old. He was 23 years old at the time. He was getting ready to graduate from the University of Tennessee. But here's what happened to him. And before I start reading this, I'm gonna read this real quick when we get back to Jason Robb. But I want you people to know there is no place, such place as a safe place. These two kids were abducted in, quote, a rich, safe part of town, unquote. Rich, safe part of town. No crime, no drugs there, nothing. But they were abducted there, and they were beaten, raped, tortured, and murdered. Chris eventually was shot before being set on fire. Chan was left to die with a plastic bag over her head. They crammed her in a trash can. All the perpetrators were black. And I'm going to read this right here. This will take a few minutes, but I'm going to read this as some of the stuff. It's going to get pretty graphic, people. And after I get through reading this, we'll go to Jason. Here you go. Newsom, the boy. Boy's rough. It was at this point, Newsom was gagged with a sock in his mouth. His ankles were bound with his own belt. His hands were tied behind his back. His face was covered with a bandana, and his head covered with a sweatshirt that his five assailants had tied around his neck with shoestrings. He was then violently raped with an object and beaten. One can only imagine the horror Christopher experienced as he was then forced to walk barefoot to the nearby railroad tracks, where he was shot in the neck and in the back. But the shots didn't kill him. The coroner found out the shots didn't kill him. He fell to the ground, but he was paralyzed. That's when the assailant stood over him, placed a gun against his head, and fired, killing him execution style. Newsom was then shot three more times, but not even that was enough for these brutal, feral animals. The attackers then poured gasoline on his body and set him on fire. That's what they did to him. The girl, by the way, when they were hijacked at that nice apartment complex, they were taken over to the dark part of town near the railroad tracks, and that's where the atrocities happened. Anyway, the girl, after she was forced to watch her boyfriend be sodomized with sticks and whatever they used, you know, tearing him all to pieces inside, she was forced to watch all that. And then she was forced into the back room of the house where she'd been dragged to, where they'd taken her off to. She was hogtied with strips of fabric from a bedding set there. And there she was brutally raped. I told y'all people it's going to get graphic. She was brutally raped in every possible way imaginable for several hours as the assailants, and when they were raping her, they beat her viciously with several objects, including a broken chair leg. By the time Christian was taken to the living room, the five attackers realized they had left their DNA on the victims. In an attempt to cover their tracks, they poured bleach down her throat and on her body before they wrapped her body in a black garbage bag and covered her head with a plastic grocery bag. She was then placed in a garbage can in the kitchen house. Before she was chopped up. All this is while she was alive. And there's a lot more to this, y'all, but I was going to read a lot more, but that's about all I can handle. Anyway, Jacob, I guess I'll go to you. You heard that, and if you're not puking right now, just give us your take on that and our wonderful black brethren out there. Well, excuse me, Jason. I'm sorry, Jason.
That's all right. I totally agree with you. You know, when you read, specifically read the story of what happened with this young couple, it doesn't, if you don't get upset, it doesn't get you angry, then you really don't have a heart. This really demonstrates, again, just an example that just made news media. But what's really sad to me, Eddie, is that this happens throughout the year, throughout the United States, and we never hear about these type of stories.
That's the truth. Jason, we got to go to a quick break. We'll both get our stuff back together. After this break, people, we're going to come back and finish this story. We'll go right back to Jacob as soon as we come back. Excuse me, Jason, as soon as we come back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Senate seems certain to keep President Donald Trump in office thanks to overwhelming GOP support expected in the impeachment trial. But how that trial will proceed and when it will actually begin still remains to be seen. Once the House transmits the articles of impeachment, decisions about how to conduct the trial will require 51 votes. With Republicans controlling the Senate, 53-47, Democrats cannot force subpoenas on their own. Republicans are continuing to hold the line behind Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's position that they should start the trial and hear arguments from House prosecutors immediately. It would take 67 votes to convict Trump on either charge and remove him from office. It's also far from certain that all 47 Democrats will find Trump guilty. Currently, Democratic Senator Doug Jones of Alabama said he is still undecided on how he might vote. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Secretary of Defense Mark Esper says more than 3,000 soldiers are being called up from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and heading to the Middle East. USA Radio's Robin Wilinski reports.
Secretary of Defense Mark Esper says the United States may take preemptive action in the Middle East. This in light of the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Iraq at the hands of pro-Iranian protesters and members of the terrorist group Hezbollah, which burned the American flag and threatened to kill all Americans inside the compound.
Presidential candidates are releasing their fundraising numbers from the fourth quarter of 2019. The fourth quarter is critical in the lead-up to the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary,
January and early February. Bernie Sanders raised more than any of the other 2020 Democratic candidates in a single quarter with $34.5 million. The $22.7 million announced by Joe Biden was the biggest haul of his campaign so far. President Donald Trump drew $46 million. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, thank you for holding on. We're right back now. It's me and Lee in the studio. We got Jason Robb on the air. Jason, before we go any further, would you give them, I know we've given some a brief bio, but would you expand out on your bio, if you don't mind, because I'm really proud of having you for a friend and a spirit son. So if give us a little bit more background.
Well, yeah. Well, like I said, I'm the son of Pastor Thomas Robb, who's the national director of the Knights, as well as pastor of the Christian Revival Center. My father and mother, they've been involved in the racialist movement since the late 1960s. So I was basically raised in the movement. And from there, I eventually, of course, went through college and became an attorney. I've been a practicing attorney for about 20 years now, and I'm attorney for the Knights Party. And so that's kind of a brief background. My whole family, my brothers, sisters, or brother and sister, nephews, nieces, we're all involved in the racialist movement. And so what we call a team effort. And so that's something we are very proud of with our families, is that with my children, it's a four-generation families that have been involved in the white racialist movement. And so we have a long history that we're proud of, and a fight that we believe is multi-generational. We believe that this fight will continue on, and we want children and other families being involved and continue to love their people and love their God. Those are the two main principles that we believe in. And so everything we do is to help be a voice for our people.
You know what? That was marvelous. That was a marvelous bio you just gave. You know, and I'd like to say this also. Tell us a little bit. I know Rachel isn't here, but I know I'm very proud of being friends with y'all. Now, Rachel, has she finished her doctorate? I know she's working on it.
She is actually. I believe she has one more semester, or she may have already graduated as far as getting her master's degree. And so this is something she's been, of course, working on last several years. But she's a very intelligent woman. She's a grandmother, has seven grandchildren. And like I said, she's a national organizer for the Knights Party. Our whole family are involved in this movement. For us, have siblings or people that are not involved in the movement, is to us is kind of weird, because we've all been raised with this love and desire for our people.
You know, I'll tell you what, your whole family, Rachel, tell me a little bit about the background of your family and how y'all had to struggle in the beginning. We have a lot in common. From what I heard, I don't know many people that, and I'm not bragging, but I don't know many people that came up as hard as I did, but we did share some commonalities there. But what impressed me about y'all is you work nonstop, day and night, it seems like, in protecting the white people of the world. Right. In racialist movement, but you're an accomplished attorney. Rachel is getting her degree. It's just amazing. But I wanted people to know. I wanted people to know the type of people. I want our audience to know the quality of people in the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. You know, that's one of the reasons. On our website, I put on there what we were going to do. We were going to kill all these dragons. We were going to slay all these sacred cows. People were going to be eating barbecued sacred cow for 10 years if we got our way on the show. We've exposing lies told about the Germans, World War I, Germans, World War II, the Nazis, the Ku Klux Klan, the Confederate soldiers. We were into disposing all lies, getting rid of all lies, all sacred cows. And, if we don't do that, I consider us, if we don't mention something, if we let it lay out there, it's not only is it lying by omission, it's letting these lies lay around to be used as weapons against our young people. That's why we have so many people that are cucked out and hate themselves, that are just disgusted with being white.
That's why it's so important that people get their families involved. Everything they do should be focused around their families, being around like-minded members, white Christians, people that have that same love and desire for their people, and that's who people need to be associating with and building bonds and friendships with. Because, you know, if people's been involved in this struggle, they know it's not something that 2 or 3 years is going to be over. I mean, we could be doing this 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now. And I know some people say, oh, it can't get any worse. Well, people in the 60s did not think it was going to get any worse. And so we have to understand that we have, each of us are advocates for our people. Each of us are a witness for our people. And everything we do and say have to have that sense in mind that we have to reach our people. We have to show them that we love them. We want to give them the truth, give them the right direction. And that is primarily what our duty is supposed to be.
And I'd say you've done very well. And one more word about the quality of people. I was there in Harrison, Arkansas, back at Labor Day weekend. I was invited to speak. And I can flat tell you, I was speaking to Sam during the last break. We talked about the light of Christ being off his family. You know, I saw the light of Christ off of you, your dad, your sister, and the people there. I saw it. And I'll tell you what, I don't hold myself up to be as some type of a martyr or some type of, prophet or a super saint. But I'll tell you what, I'm a hardcore Christian. I've never been in prison, you know, for minor stuff, mostly fights when I was young and things like that. I have 2 honorable discharges from the United States Army, 1 from the regular Army, 1 from the National Guard. Been well in the Army. I'm not going to brag about that because I was drafted. And, you know, I went because I was drafted.
Right.
But in other words, I'm a good citizen. I have no criminal record. I'm Christian. And I recognize good people when I see it. And I saw the best of the best. I've never felt more home at any place than I did there at the Knights Congress back in the Labor Day.
Well,
I just wanted to get that out there, Jason. Oh, you go ahead. Yeah.
And I want to say one thing. The theme for our Faith and Freedom Conference this year is out of Lamentations. Great is thy faithfulness. And it's under Lamentations 3, 23, where Jeremiah says, there are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And it's talking about the God's mercies upon his people. And so that's something we have to think about every day, is that we have to remain faithful, and we have to understand that God is going to be faithful to our people. And so sometimes when we see what looks like not being, everything that seems hopeless and everything's kind of falling apart, we have to understand that God is in control, and we have to have faith in the direction that we're going into. So that's the theme for our Congress this year in April. And so, great is thy faithfulness. So remember that.
Well, I'll tell you what, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's pretty much a paraphrase. I can't quote it, but it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith comes by hearing. Going back to where we were earlier, you know, I was just talking about that horrific, it goes beyond torture. I mean, satanic, Satanist, vicious torture. And you made a remark, it's also true. That's just one example. Lee's got some papers over here talking about the Wichita horror that happened. Also, it also happened in the month of January the Wichita horrors happened in 2000. This right here in Knoxville happened in 2007. But continue on about that if you have anything to add to that, Jason.
Well, I think what it shows is that we talked about like these 2 main ones that we've heard about, you know, Christian and Newsom, and then the one from Wichita on the car, CARR, that happened in 2000, which made a little bit of headline news. But, you know, according to the FBI's own statistics, black on white crime regarding sexual assaults and rapes there's 27,000 white women that are sexually assaulted, raped, sodomized by blacks every year, statistically from the FBI. And statistically, white on black crime is zero. And so what we don't understand, or what we should understand, is every year we have 27,000 of our women that are sexually assaulted and raped. That doesn't count the murders, the robberies, the in-home invasions, and it just reflects upon this is what happens when you have the black culture that comes into direct conflict with the white culture. And unfortunately, what happens when that happens is that we have our white people that suffers from that, because no longer are the white people in control or have dominion over our states or our cities.
All so true. I can't believe this hour is going. We're in a time warp. I think I told you something about a time warp the other day when I was talking to you. Anyway, listen, people, we've got to go to a break. And after this break, we're going to come right back and continue on with the memorialization of the people that were murdered in Knoxville and in Wichita, Kansas, and actually all of the United States. We'll be right back, people.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Okay, people, we're back after listening to a little bit of that's the national anthem for Blood River Radio, by the way. People, at one time in my career, I never read any type of articles on the air. I didn't think reading was the right way to go. But I've since changed a little bit. I have one more small piece I'm going to read, and then we're going to go back to Jason. He mentioned the media a minute ago. So here's we'll talk about the media as it's connected to these incredible sadistic murders of white people. Here's about the media. From the start, the mainstream media didn't want to touch this case. Everything about it ran counter to their cherished narrative. So as they do with all other inconvenient facts and evidence, they tried to ignore it. This ostrich stance sparked both national and international outrage. I never saw the outrage at the time, but this article right here says it did. Here's what the Daily Mail had to say. The Daily Mail addressed the problem in 2009. They said, but even though the killings happened in January of 2007, they have attracted very little national and international coverage. That's because they do not fit the conventional contours of an attack in America's Deep South, where a shameful history of racial intolerance has meant assaults by whites on blacks and has historically been regarded in the context of race. In this case, the races were reversed. The victims are white, and the four men and one woman charged in connection with the murders are black. Here's what University of Tennessee law professor Glenn Reynolds had to say about it. He said, American media has a template for covering white on black crime, but not the reverse. I think it would have gotten a lot of national play faster if it had been a black couple kidnapped and killed by five white people. He told the local paper in Knoxville, Professor Reynolds, you think that's the case? Down here, the last part of it says, in a powerful demonstration of the way the internet has opened up the mainstream media to intensive second guessing, bloggers are charging that news outlets have ignored the race, the rape and murder of a young Knoxville couple because of racial implications of the story. The two victims are white. The five defendants are black. I think people may have a point about that. What do you think about that, Jason?
Oh, absolutely. The media, very much, as we all know, are very liberal. They're communistic. They're anti-Christian. They're anti-everything we stand for is for morality. And so when you have a crime like this where it's very horrific, it definitely doesn't fit their narrative because it's blacks killing the whites. And, of course, this happens all the time. It just doesn't make national news. It happens all the time. But, yes, if it was whites killing two innocent black couples, you would have national news for weeks. You would have the FBI coming down there looking, investigating regarding FBI civil rights violations, everything you can think of. I mean, it would be making just national news. And we all know that. I mean, it's not anything we don't know. It's something that definitely would happen. And so, unfortunately, the media is basically putting a lid on these type of horrific crimes because it does not fit their narrative that blacks are just peaceful people and that they don't have any ill will in their bodies whatsoever, and white people in general are just hateful, racist bigots. And that's the narrative that the media likes to portray.
I tell you what, we see it over and over and over again. You know what disturbs me more than anything, Jason, is the young people. You know, everybody in his mama that knows me knows that I train almost nonstop year-round for running for marathons, run for St. Jude. That's how I raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So one of my favorite places to work out is just some stairs, two sets of stairs. They're outdoors in downtown Memphis, right on the river. There's 73 sets of stairs in one, 84 in the other. And people kind of congregate there because it's a really good place to get in some strength work. Well, most of the people down there are young. I'd say 95% of them are very young, from maybe 22 to 40. And they're what you call millennials, a lot of millennials down there. And you seldom, I've talked to these people. I say, you never, ever, I've been down there working out down there for about 3 years. And I'm not kidding. I can count on one hand how many white children I've seen. You just do not see white children down there. The majority of the houses down there are these new apartments that have been these old warehouses that used to be in this really rough part of town. Still is kind of rough, a lot of blacks there. But these rich folks have gotten government grants and government loans with, 0% interest pretty much. It's a sweetheart deal. So they've gone in and fixed up all these old warehouses, and they've turned them into like yuppie heaven. four, five, six story apartments. They got their little, what they call a park, just little small areas, a little green, where people come out there and they walk their dogs. There's a walking trail that run parallel with the river. And I'm painting that as a picture because it is a beautiful spot. You can overlook the Mississippi River over into Arkansas. It's a great place to work out. You see this tons of young white people, but you never, ever see, I swear I haven't seen one in the past 6 months with a child. They always have these dogs. And, I like dogs myself, but they worship these damn dogs. It's just they have two and three of them at a time. They put coats on them. They take their pictures. And I talk to them about, the race, how we're becoming extinct as a species in the United States. I've told them, there's 29 states in the United States. Year before last, 29 states. The death rate of white people exceeded the birth rate. And I tell them, doesn't that matter to you? And it doesn't. A lot of you would be shocked if you talk to some of them, and they would, and you hear what I've heard. They'll tell you, well, that's a good thing because white people, are cursed. We polluted the environment. We've created global warming. We've done all this horrible stuff. But it's really discouraging in a lot of ways. I know you mentioned earlier that we're never going to give up. We're never going to give up the faith. We're going to fight to the bitter end. But I'm telling you what. It seems like we're going against an uphill battle there, Jason.
I agree. I mean, it does get discouraged. I mean, no, anyone out there who don't see what's happening, the destruction of our people and our children, obviously it gets discouraged. But I do see hope. I'm kind of always an eternal optimist person. I'm very positive. That's how I've always been raised. But I do see things happening that's shifting towards are people waking up. For one is, for the most part, white people know that you don't go into your no-go zones, as I like to call them, in your cities, your inner cities. White people know that. They have that instinct not to go in those communities because they know there are atrocities that's going to happen to them. But I think also that if you get out in your cities, out into your rural areas, the flyover states, and I know we're kind of talking about Memphis, but even in the rural areas, white families still have large families. They're it's not like they all don't have children. They do have large families in your rural areas and communities and the countryside. They do have white families, and so you do have a sizable population of your millennials, if you want to call it, where all they're concerned about is having a nice fat paycheck and 401k and retirement and have their dog and a newest car, newer home, and that's kind of what they're concerned about. But same token, like I said, if you get out in the rural areas, you still see white families, communities, having children, and I think those are the things we have to, as a group, as a racial movement, I think we have to focus on our families. We so often don't do that, and I think something we have to struggle with every day. We have to focus on the families, train our families, raise them up the right way so they can continue on the next generation. Because your eastern and western states, they're basically a lost cause. They're becoming more and more non-white. And you're seeing a drastic demographic change where white people are moving into the heartland of America. This is something the Knights have been talking about for over 30, 40 years, about the balkanization of America, where white people are moving into the heartland, and you see that. And so you look at statistic-wise from the whole 50 states, and of course I always like to say the 48 states because Hawaii and Alaska, I don't really consider them part of the United States. But the 48 states, those in the heartland of America, that's where you're still seeing a sizable, large white population, white people, or children, I should say, are being born. Your eastern and western states, it's dwindling because they're becoming a third world country because of all the non-whites coming in. But the same token, you have white people moving out of those states. So I do see something positive, and so I don't get as depressed because I still see a shift that is changing that will ultimately help our cause and help our movement.
Well, you know, I guess people in my situation living in these large cities, Memphis is a pretty large city, not compared to, you know, New York City or Los Angeles, but it's a large city. And I guess that's why we have people like me have a jaundiced view of the future. But anyway, talking to people like you, it's really lifts us up, Jason. And listen, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I can't believe this hour has flown by so fast. We'll be talking to you again. We'll have to get you back on. We'll talk about the conference as soon as possible. Thank you so much for coming on, Jason. Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
People, hang on for your seats. We'll be right back after this break. This is going to be a longer break. You have time to go get you some coffee. What do you want to get? We'll be right back in a few minutes. And we're going to have Ike Baker on with the League of the South. Be right back.